Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Bucks will have to shoot one more time. Chant of Bucks in six was picked up earlier by the crowd here.
Good luck.
Exactly what the Celtics did to Chicago a year ago. Jennings' follow-away three is no good. The rebound. Monroe can't grab it. It's picked off the floor by Sterling Brown. He can run the clock out. And 72 hours for the Bucks to think about their season's mortality, but they answer the bell. It started with Eric Bledsoe and carried through for all 48 minutes, and the Milwaukee Bucks run away and high in a blowout win in game number three. The final score, Milwaukee 116, Boston 92. We got a series.
I think that we learned the level, the intensity that is playing in the playoffs on the road. At home, you know, maybe you feel good, you're comfortable, confident. And even though we've been playing on the road all year, it's different in the playoff.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 Sports Hub, Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, and you at 617-779-0985. So that's Al Horford after last night's 116-92 Game 3 loss. That was gross. That really, there's no other way to put it, Chris. I was hoping, I know it's a stretch, I was hoping for a sweep, though, because I felt like the Bucks in the first couple of games were just an embarrassment. They're everything bad about the NBA. Lack of effort, stupidity. I get it. They have the best player in the series, and Antetokounmpo, but my God, just ugly basketball to watch in those first couple of games. Like, okay, maybe they can wrap this up in five games. I thought maybe this would be five or six, but that last night, I mean, Milwaukee was up 27-12 after one, and they never really looked back. And I don't want to make too much out of this. So, you know, I know, you know, you and I were out last night, and we ended up watching the second half, too.
Yeah.
But in that third quarter, it felt like they were starting. The Celtics were actually chipping away.
No, they were. They got it down 14.
The refs really killed the momentum there. I get it. There's going to be home cooking here. It happens. Yeah. And I feel like maybe more often than not in the NBA, there you see shady calls so you can extend a series. But there were some ugly, ugly calls in that game that in that third quarter killed the Celtics' momentum. And that's when I realized, like, no, it's just, it really isn't their night. But overall, what a gross product.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, when you look at it, completely different Milwaukee team, obviously. But I thought, just Terry Rozier, who hadn't had any turnovers in 78 minutes in the series, and then you have five turnovers in the first quarter. It just seemed like the Celtics were a little shell-shocked in this one and weren't really ready to absorb Milwaukee's best punch. And then I feel like Milwaukee sort of stumbled upon some things that worked. Dellavedova, and I didn't really understand why he wasn't playing earlier in the series.
Well, and Thon Maker, too. They ended up having 13 blocks
yes.
overall and defensively. He was
yes.
huge for them.
He was huge. And you know what? Where he was huge? He was huge defensively when they were blocking those shots. There's no question about that because defense can be contagious. But as a center and his ability to stretch the floor, I mean, he hit 3 of 4 from three. He's not that good of a three-point shooter. You know, I think he shot like 28% this year or something like that. But the reality is now he's a guy that's going to take him and you have to defend it. So now the spacing on the floor is different. And that was one of the things that struck me having covered both of those first two games of the series. There were too many guys in Milwaukee when I watched them play offensively that were not willing to take these perimeter shots. And they kept trying to get into the paint and get to the rim. And they were playing into the Celtics' hands because that's much easier to defend if you don't really have to worry about guys taking threes, you know, other than Chris Middleton, who had another fantastic evening for them. But now when you have a five that can, and we've seen this during the season with the Celtics when they played Indiana, when Miles Turner steps out, that changes things defensively for the Celtics. And I thought it opened up a lot of stuff. And then Milwaukee was connecting from deep. I mean, they hit 16-33. That's not, they don't take a lot of threes and they don't make a lot of threes. So that was uncharacteristic for the Bucks.
Yeah, I don't want people to get it twisted that I bring up the refs. Like, you know, the Bucks outplayed the Celtics playing
yeah,
Zibba last night, but it was aggravating at that point because it felt like they were going to be able to get back into the game. Overall, just looking at last night, and maybe it was the pop of being home. It's their first home playoff game. Frankly, I was impressed by that crowd. I didn't think that those people had it in them.
They brought it.
I was very annoyed by the Bucks in six chant that started up again. That really went up my keister. But do we now have a series here? Like Sean Grandy said.
Let's see what happens on Sunday. Let's see what happens on Sunday.
So you feel like that might have been the one-off?
Yeah,
yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, I do. I want to see what Milwaukee does on Sunday and what the adjustments are, you know, from the Celtics standpoint. Because, again, Milwaukee played great, and I'm not taking anything away from them. They've shot better than 54% from the field in every game of the series. So offensively, they've been doing some things that have been giving the Celtics problems. So you can't take that away from them. But on the other hand, again, 16 to 33 from three, like, they're not going to duplicate that. That's not who they are as a team.
Yeah, the other thing that kind of annoyed me from a Celtics standpoint was Marcus Morris, who I can run hot and cold with. Like, when he's on, I love him. But last night, too, and if you watch the end of game two, it started to get chippy between him and Chris Middleton.
Yes.
And I felt like, oh, this is going to be something to watch. And even last night, he's getting stupid technical, like when, you know, there's a free throw shot. I forget who it was at the line, but he gets, you know, some ridiculous tee. But I just wonder if he's going to be...
I think Don Maker was actually at the line. I think that was after Baines' three.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Oh, which was that call, too.
Like, that please. Call was garbage, but Baines, what are you doing? Why would you...
He just ran
right through the guy. Like, I mean, I would have called that a foul, but I wouldn't have given him three shots. I would have been like, okay, that's after the shot, foul on the floor. Like, that's like a loose ball foul.
But it's... I just, looking at Morris last night, I know I have a little bit of a concern going forward with however long the series goes, if he could be... a hothead liability, you know, like it's
really
that's part of his game that I like, but sometimes he's in the red and he's going to end up costing you. And even though last night was a blowout, I wonder if there's some bad blood brewing here. It's something to keep an eye on. Your thoughts on this game from last night and so far this series? Didn't feel like it was going to be much of one, but after last night, it feels like it could go maybe six or seven.
And the young guys didn't look so good either. That was the thing. You know, it didn't really translate from TD Garden to Milwaukee.
617-779-0985, Sports Hub Celtic Show. We'll open up with Matt in the car. Matt, am I wrong to be bitching about the officiating last night?
Oh, absolutely not. The Celtics, though, I mean, let's be real. Let's not be a real green team honk. The Celtics did not bring their A game. They missed shots almost all game long. They were like 11%, I think, in the first half. But the garbage officiating certainly isn't conducive to a positive atmosphere or the players hustling hard when they feel like they're going to get a random technical while at the free throw line, making a, what was it? Was it a comment that I think you were just touching upon? He got teed up for like a, he made a comment, but it was like, yeah, good shot. I think is actually what you could pick up on the microphone. Was there anything else more to that?
No. I mean, I didn't even know that part you're telling me about. It was a bizarre technical. It's not one I would have called. But
it was Scott Foster last night, and he's the worst.
He is, I agree. But here's the thing. Who got that technical? It's Marcus Morris. So now you're talking about a guy who, he's cultivated a reputation. He does not get a lot of leeway. I would be with you guys on terrible officiating. What are you doing if they call this on, like, Terry Rozier out of the blue? But the officials, whether it's Scott Foster or not, are looking for Marcus Morris, and they're looking for him because he created that.
How about the open-handed quote-unquote turnover in the third quarter? Rozier's taking it to the hole. He gets his hands absolutely obliterated, almost slapped off. You could hear the slap. It was audible from that microphone behind the dang hoop. And I'm like, these officials are crapbags. And I am not a big Celtics fan. But once we heard the big two go down, I'm like, you know what? This is when I want to see the guys play. This is when I want to see the young talent get cultivated and develop. And I want to hear the rest of you guys' comments on the game. I just needed to throw my two cents into the ring there.
It's a fair point about the officiating, but here's the reality. You get down, you know, 23 points in the first half. You pretty much need everything to go your way to come back and win that game. So the officiating slights and the things that don't go your way tend to get magnified.
Oh, sure.
But you put yourself in that situation. And Brad would be the first one to say that. And Brad pulled those officials aside and was kind of like, what the hell's going on here after the Marcus Morris tech? So he knows it's legit. But you put yourself in that situation, you need everything to go right. And obviously, it didn't from an officiating standpoint, but here's the thing. Don't get down 23.
All right, we're going to hear from our man on the scene in Milwaukee, B-Rob, Brian Robb of Boston Sports Journal, out there covering the Celtics in this series. We will talk to him next. Continue to take your calls on last night's ugly Celtics loss, 116-92 to the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 3. Right after this here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Jaylen Brown. Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dove and Maker came in, their energy was contagious and really pushed us out. And I thought we were settling already prior to that. You know, and then, you know, our guys are competitive. They want to get it all back at once, and we're driving to the rim, and we're getting shot after shot blocked because we're trying to hit home runs by then. And so it just all, you know, I'd say it all snowballed on us, and, you know, we lost a game, and Luckily, it was worth one.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, and you at 617-779-0985. If you want to join the show, that, of course, Celtics head coach Brad Stevens after last night's 116-92 Game 3 loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. And joining us here in the Expert Hotline to talk more about last night's game, it is Brian Robb, who covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, waking up in lovely Milwaukee. B-Rob, how are you this morning?
I'm great. I'm just looking outside my hotel to an empty parking lot, beautiful views of Milwaukee and snowbanks.
Before we get into the actual ugliness of last night's game, I have to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, B-Rob, how embarrassing was it to be in that building for the end of that game? The Bucks in 6 chant from those Rube fans, the streamers like they won the NBA championship. B-Rob, did you have douche chills?
I mean, act like you've been there before, guys, for that stuff. I mean, the crowd is actually fairly decent in terms of volume during the game. Like, they were into it. It was a good,
yeah, I was surprised,
playoff crowd, which was, you know, they obviously fed off of early. But, yeah, the streamer, I mean, it's like, at least wait till you win a round or something like that before you're doing some streamers and stuff. So that was maybe a little more fuel to the fire for the Celtics walking off the floor to that.
B-Rob, when you look at this game, you know, from the Celtics standpoint, is it just a one-off where the Bucks sort of stumbled upon Dellavedova and Maker, or is this going to be something moving forward that's an issue for them? Do the Bucks feel like they found something and they're going to press the Celtics on it until they fix it, correct it, show they can defend it?
Yeah, Chris, I think it's kind of the latter there. I think Dellavedova, I mean, some of the adjustments that were made last time, we all know, like, we've been making fun of Joe Peruzzi all series long in terms of what, you know, just him being out-coached.
Yeah.
And he stumbled onto one thing, I feel like, in Maker. Now it's just, like, dumb luck with Henson being hurt and Tyler Zeller getting into foul trouble. But Maker, what he did last night was really allow a lot more defensive versatility for them because he could handle switches and he could, like, guard, you know, Tatum, Morris, guys like that in one-on-one situations and use his length, obviously, to pull up some big blocks. And combine that with just the ability to stretch the floor with another shooter around Giannis, like that's pretty big. He's not going to make 3 3-pointers every night, but just the mere threat of him, you know, being able to make those shots is something that Henson didn't give them at all.
Yeah, Henson has terrible hands, by the way, too.
Oh yeah, I mean exactly. Like the Celtics would literally back off Henson when he got the ball. Like, so anything, you know, that you have to kind of guard there is, you know, hurts the Celtics defensively. And then Dellavedova, I mean, that was just, I mean, I'm surprised it kind of took this long to get to him. Obviously, he's been coming back from an ankle injury. But, you know, we've seen this for a year. He's, you know, a pest as far as defensive end goes. And he really got into Rozier at the beginning of a lot of game last night. And, again, I expect him to continue to see minutes there where they really made themselves like a decent defensive team last night. We hadn't seen that in Boston. And I expect, you know, guys like Jason Terry and Muhammad were kind of taken out of the rotation there in terms of and brought in with better defenders and Maker and Dellavedova, and we obviously saw the difference.
So Marcus Morris, to me, seemed to be running a little bit hot. Al Horford losing his cool when he wasn't getting calls. You have, Aaron Baines following on Maker in the three-pointer, which was just as boneheaded a play as you'll see. Do you get the feeling, B-Rob, that this team might be losing their composure a little bit and this is maybe an issue going forward as the series continues?
I don't think, I mean, I think it was definitely an issue last night, Jim. I don't think it will be an issue going forward. Last night, like, especially in the second quarter there, like, the Bucks were just, like, kicking the crap out of the Celtics in terms of just, like, hacking them and, you know, bodying Horford in the post. And I think it kind of got in Horford's head a little bit because he got called for a couple offensive fouls, even though he was probably fouled 3 or 4 times before those. And I think Brad Stevens kind of saw early with Horford in particular that, like, hey, this might not be our night. He only played him 13 minutes in the first half, likely just in the sense, you know, let him cool off a little bit on the bench, you know, and save some energy for obviously a quick turnaround in game 4 on Sunday. But I expect them to kind of just reset right now. Look what the Bucks did. Look how they came out offensively, just literally having the worst quarter of the year, shooting 10% from the field and 8 turnovers. Like, they were settling for 3-point shots. They were settling for isolation drives that worked in Boston, but against this new revamped, you know, Bucks rotation, they obviously didn't see that same success.
How concerned are you, B-Rob, just about the Celtics' defense in this series? I mean, the Bucks are shooting 54.8% from the floor. They've shot better than 54% in every game of the series. Are you concerned about that, or do you look at it and say, hey, the Bucks shoot a ton of twos, they're not going to hit these threes. If you're letting a team shoot a high percentage of twos in today's NBA, it's not the end of the world.
No, it has to be a big concern at this point, Chris, in the sense that if you're shooting like over 55% pretty much every game, like that's a problem, and even if they are twos. And so Giannis is Giannis. He's going to get his – they only had 19 points last night. Middleton has just been an absolute stud in the series. The Celtics have no one who can guard him, and he – punishes every single mismatch they get there and can distribute the ball well. So if the fact that Jabari Parker woke up last night, Eric Bledsoe woke up last night, you know, they shot the lights out from three, that's not going to happen again. I feel like they're very, like, they're kind of a front-running team. They, you know, they built off some of their guys like that and, you know, brought extra energy based on that success. So, but the Celtics are going to have to take a long look in terms of, especially if Maker plays more, who do they want to not guard in this lineup? Because you can't really, you know, like, stop Giannis and Middleton without giving up things elsewhere. And there's no really clear spot to give that up if Parker is going to play well enough to stay on the floor defensively and, you know, Dellavedova and Maker can hit some threes.
What do you predict for tomorrow?
I think Bucks are going to take it. I think we got a series on our hands.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a close game. I mean, if you look at Vegas right now, they got the Bucks favored by 5, which is a sign that they kind of like what they saw in terms of what Milwaukee was doing. So, I mean, I still like the Celtics in the series. I had the Celtics in 7 before this thing started, but I think the Bucks, you know, they play much better at home all year long, and I think we're going to see that again tomorrow.
Will that mean you'll have to go back out to that hellhole?
Well, that
Chris
means I'll have
week?
To go back out there, or I'll have to go out there, not back out there, but I'll have to go there. I don't like the sound of that, B-Rob.
I mean, I'm sorry, Chris.
Celtics in 5 all day.
Well, enjoy the cheese curds and heavy beers, my friend, and enjoy the rest of the series. Hopefully you're wrong about tomorrow, but I get the feeling you probably won't be. Brian Robb covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. Sign up now at bostonsportsjournal.com if you have not. B-Rob, always a pleasure talking to you, my friend.
Pleasure, guys. We'll see you. See you Thursday, Chris.
Oh, yeah. I'll see you for game 5. We definitely know there's a game 5, so I'll see you for that back of the garden, B-Rob.
The dejected Brian Robb out in Milwaukee giving us the latest on last night's ugly 116-92 loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. All right, you might not be paying attention to the rest of the NBA playoffs, but there is a former Celtic player who might be inadvertently ruining everyone's hopes for a certain big-name player that you all wanted this coming offseason. We're going to get to that and your calls right after the Hub headlines here with Mike Sarge-Riley on the Sports Hub Celtic Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, The Sports Hub Celtic Show, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Blocked by Rondo. Davis goes to the floor. Miller pays it off with the triple.
Sports Up Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Up, so I have to touch on this. That was the sound of one big Kentucky connection there, Chris, and arguably the hottest team in the NBA playoffs. That's the New Orleans Pelicans, who are now up 3-0 on the Portland Trailblazers. They beat them in Game 3, 119-102. Pelicans can complete the sweep in Game 4 in New Orleans later this afternoon, 5 o'clock tip. And, you know, the first couple of games were on late because they're in Portland, so I watched some of them. And I don't even know who the hell this team is right now. I felt like they just, you know, basically squeaked into the playoffs. Anthony Davis had an MVP-type season, so that's been nice. But Drew Holiday looks like a stud. Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis. And then there's little playoff Rondo. Little playoff Rajon Rondo doing it again, just like he was last year until he hurt his thumb against the Celtics. First couple of games, especially that second game, it's like, oh, here he is, this little a-hole. Of course, he raises his game and the spotlight's on. It's playoff Rondo again. But here's my bigger thought and why I wanted to touch on this, because it affects the Celtics, I think. When this team ends up beating the Trailblazers, because they're going to, I don't, who knows if they end up completing the sweep, but they're going to win this round. Anthony Davis will have tasted, finally, his first true NBA playoff success. And I would think that Anthony Davis is no longer going to be frustrated with what he's surrounded with. And Anthony Davis, who many Celtics fans rightfully covet, he's going to realize, huh, this isn't so bad. I can see what we're building here finally in New Orleans. And he's no longer going to want out. And he's not going to be coming to the Celtics. And you'll have Rajon Rondo to blame. Because he's raised his game. He's been playing out of his mind in this series.
He has.
So funny how it all comes full circle here. Rondo still sticking it to the Celtics. Am I wrong in feeling this way?
No, it's a good take, because I do think that New Orleans' ability to get out of the first round will be something.
I never saw this coming.
Well, I mean, I looked at that matchup. I didn't see it coming like this, but I thought it was possible just because Portland played great during the regular season, but there's not a lot of depth with that team. There's just not. And they rely so much on Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And when you look at New Orleans, if some of their role players, like Rondo, like Nikola Mirotic, play well, then they're a different team. And those guys have both played really well in the series. But if you're Davis, you're thinking, man, we're doing this without Boogie. What if we get Boogie back?
Right.
Then you think it's legit. And to your point, you're dead on. You might be willing to wait another season or two. So maybe for the Celtics now, it's about Kawhi Leonard, you know, instead of Anthony Davis. But here's the question. Here's the question I have. So Anthony Davis might be content and say, we can contend here. But do the Pelicans look at it and say, okay, he's happy now, but he's not going to be happy for long. You know, we got to make a move here. I think that's a tough sell down in New Orleans if anybody cared about the team. But from what you've told me, they really don't. So
they didn't. So when I was there in December and, you know, again, for most of the season, they were kind of on that bubble or playing a little bit above 500. But that was end of December. That was really pre-Boogie injury. And that was before Davis started to go off where it seemed like 40 points and 40-10 every single night for like a month. So maybe it feels like, looking at this game three, there's more buzz in that hilariously named Smoothie King Center. So maybe there's more buzz now. And if the team had any thoughts, they've realized now they're going to get out of this first round and maybe even have a competitive second round. Okay, you know what? Whatever we were thinking about, maybe we had interest in Tatum or Brown, or, you know, we were going to try to convince the Celtics to make this deal. We're going to back away now. And again, it's partially because of the way Rajon Rondo is playing, which, I'm sorry, like, while I have, you know, my red flags I've mentioned about Anthony Davis before, the way he's played as of, you know, towards the end of the season and recently, it's like, okay, I can see why people would want him. I mean, he would be such a huge factor here.
Yep.
And while I would want him, there is a sick part of me that enjoys the fact that it's Rondo that's partially screwing this whole thing up in the way that he's playing in this first round. Like, what an a-hole. It frustrates me with him, and he did when he was in a Celtics uniform. There's so much ability there. But he picks and chooses when he wants to show it, you know? Like, that's frustrating.
Yeah, you're right, but you could look at it the other way, too, that he has a sense of the moment and that he can elevate his game. I mean, don't you want to see that from guys, that when it's in the playoffs, that you take your game to another level?
Yeah, but really, it only seems like it's then, you know? And then the rest of the time, he doesn't give a rat's ass. But something to keep an eye on. Again, Pelicans, the deeper they go, the lower the chance of the Celtics getting Anthony Davis, at least in my mind. Cam and Taunton, you got a thought on this? Go ahead.
I just got a question. Ashley, did the schedule fall in a way that's going to allow you to go to Tennessee?
It did, yes. So the Patriots' schedule came out. That Tennessee game is on Veterans Day. It's a 1 o'clock kick, so that's going to be the road game this year, yes. You're doing Detroit?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to go see Comerica and see the Big House, and I'm looking forward. Have you ever been to Detroit?
I have. Underrated city. That's actually on the come. Like in most other cities, major cities in America, there's their sketchy parts, but Detroit's actually a party. I think you'll have a good time.
I also want to ask you one more thing while we're here on a Saturday. I can't ask you this during the week. You and I, when I went to Tampa, you told me Burns Steakhouse is overrated. What's your problem with it?
Oh, it's a fancier hilltop with those guys and their stupid Thai system. For those that haven't been to Burns, it's known as, and I'm using air quotes here, as one of the great steakhouses in America, and it couldn't be more overrated. It's a fancier hilltop with a lot of hype, and they tell you everything's like farm-raised. It tastes like canned vegetables. I don't know, Cam, like, it's fine, but for what you pay, it's more show than it is a decent meal. At least it was to me. But all right, what do you got on?
I didn't pay. I won a bet. It was free.
Oh, well then, hey, a free meal is a free meal.
I won a bet on the Mayweather-McGregor fight, and the guy I was with had to pay for it because he bet on McGregor.
You got any concerns about Rondo screwing up this whole Anthony Davis thing, potentially coming to the Celtics?
I mean, yeah. I mean, absolutely. It feels like, remember last year Rondo was getting booed in that first round series? I mean, I don't hold disdain towards Rondo because I think he was a very good player. I know he was an a-hole, but he was a good player here. But yeah, I'm worried about it because, you know, this is what he does. He raises his game in the playoffs, and he's doing it again. And he's going to take this Pelicans team to an upset over the Blazers. And now I don't see the Pelicans trading Anthony Davis. But my overall point is, I watched the last two games of the Pacers series. I said this to Mike and Tony on 2-6 yesterday. Never mind Kyrie and Hayward. If they just had Kyrie, this Celtics team would go in the finals. That Cavaliers team is LeBron, Love, and a bunch of bums. I mean, I've never seen it. I mean, once again last night, they built up a big lead and blow it, and this time they fully blew it and blew the game. I think they might lose that series to the Pacers.
Oh, Cam! Oh, you're gonna make it wiggle. I'm gonna do a bit of a victory dance coming up next year. Now, look, it's only a 2-1 series lead for the Pacers. But I sat here on this very show last week and got mocked by a certain someone when I said, you know, I have a feeling a certain first-round series might be a little bit more competitive than people may think. And that's the Pacers-Cavs. And boy, did I get mocked by that certain somebody, Chris. So, how it's looked so far, where the Pacers, I mean, if Victor Oladipo didn't chuck up one of the worst three-point shots I've ever seen in my life, could have tied it, maybe gone on to overtime, we could be looking at a 3-0 series lead for the Pacers. But I'm with Cam. Holy crap. That team really is. It's LeBron, Kevin Love, sorta, and bum after bum after bum. Like, all that shine that they had on them after that deal, well, that is way off. So we'll touch on that game, and I promise more of your thoughts on last night's ugly Celtics loss to the Milwaukee Bucks, as we have a series there, for better or worse. Right after this, in a long commercial-free segment on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Boston's home for sports is on your phone.
Yeah!
Listen live and check out our podcast with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. The excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shot clock down to 4. Bogdanovich tries again. Puts it in from way downtown.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. I do want to touch on this, too. So last night, the Indiana Pacers overcome a 17-point halftime deficit behind a big shooting from, hopefully I'm saying this correctly, Bojan Bogdanovic, who defensively the last night on LeBron, too, was nasty. But they close out the Game 3 win. They take a 2-1 series lead over Cleveland. A series that I said last week, Chris, let me dance a little in my chair. Dance, dance, dance. Gonna wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. That I thought could be sneaky interesting. This was supposedly a rebuilding season for this team. Instead, this team has been extremely competitive. They've been competitive in any of the games that they played against the Celtics this year. But this series, because it's the Cavs have looked like LeBron and junk, and it's looking that way so far in this series. It's LeBron and just, blech, and Kevin Love at times, but fine. I've never believed in him anyway. But if nothing else, even if the Cavs end up taking this series, and Lord knows, I'm sure the calls are going to start going their way, Game 4 is a must-see, and I'll pat myself on the back. It so far has been a competitive series.
You were right, and I was wrong. No question about it. I was sort of dismissive of the idea of Indiana being able to win the series. I'm trying to remember what I thought at the time. I felt like maybe Cavs in 6 or something, but Indiana's clearly been the better team in the series. I mean, they could be up 3-0. If LeBron hadn't gone crazy with 46 in Game 2, then I think they would be up 3-0. And Cleveland looks very, 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 very vulnerable at this point. There's no question about it. It'll be interesting to see, though. Like, LeBron can go one of two ways here. He can either say, oh, no, we're not losing the first round to the Pacers. Or he can be like, you know what? These guys that are around me, there's no way. Like, we can't even get out of the East. This is a waste of time. I'm not expending my energy. And I'm curious which way he's going
to
go.
Oh, and I think he might be teetering. You know, it has to be. Because to me, I think this is going to be the end of his run in Cleveland, where he goes, you know, I don't know, maybe it's Houston, depending on whether or not they end up winning the finals or whatever. Maybe it's Philadelphia. But I think this is it. But I think that this is why Game 4, to me, is a must-see. Because even if he goes off for close to 50, at least, you know, he's still trying, but he's surrounded by crap. That next game, I think the Pacers end up taking it, and they take the series.
I mean, the clock is ticking, I think, for the Cleveland supporting cast to declare that they can get the job done and that they're going to show up not only in the series but in the playoffs. And again, if it gets to a point where LeBron looks around and says, these guys can't do it, then he will check out. And look, Kobe Bryant used to do the same thing.
Yeah.
If you look around and you say, I'm not wasting my time and my talent on this, these guys aren't good enough, and I can only drag them so far, and I can't drag them all the way through. It's interesting too, like, will it be affected by the rest of the Eastern Conference, though? Does LeBron look around and say, okay, we're not playing well in this series, but if I can get these guys through this series and buy us some time, there's nobody really in the East that we can't beat if these guys can kick it into gear the way they did at, you know, early on after they made all those trades in the regular season. When I look at Cleveland, Jim, I don't know where the scoring is going to come from on a consistent basis. Like, on a night-to-night basis, okay, LeBron's going to do his thing. Kevin Love, I know you're not the biggest fan, but he'll get somewhere between 17 and 30 points. the other guys, where's the scoring coming from? Is it J.R. Smith? Is it Clarkson?
Yeah.
Is it Jeff Green, who they've been relying on? Who's the other guy that's going to step up there? George Hill?
Old-ass Kyle Korver. You
know. Kyle Korver? Larry Nance Jr.? Rodney Hood? Where is the scoring going to come from on a night tonight? It's sort of an issue that like the Celtics ran into the last couple of years, where you have these role guys that are good in the regular season, but now you get in a playoff series, and it's like, yeah, we got IT, and where's the rest of the scoring coming from consistently? Oh, we don't know? That's a problem.
Yeah, and those guys, they're either washed up like Korver, or they're just, they've always been inconsistent throughout their careers like J.R. Smith. But to Cam and Taunton's point, who called in about this series in the last segment, as a Celtics fan, it has to kind of drive you crazy looking at the series. Because if you had Kyrie Irving, well, this team was definitely going to have to go to the finals. I thought that anyway, but looking at how Cleveland has played in this first round series, it's like, oh man, it does feel like...
It's so wide open in the East.
It feels like a bit of a missed opportunity. I still don't know if they would get over the hump of the finals, whether that ends up being Golden State and Steph Curry comes back or Houston, but as far as the East is concerned, like, oh man, like it's frustrating to see.
Yeah, I mean, if they had Kyrie, I mean, I think you could make a case that they would be the favorite.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Ian in Pembroke, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I feel like you two and Cattles are the only ones that are able to talk any hoops on that station. But anyway, I saw last night coming a mile away. I mean, every time during the week, whether it was a tweet or online, they're talking about, you know, Rozier hasn't turned the ball over in two games. Every time I heard that, I cringed. Eric Bledsoe is a player, and I knew he wasn't going to, you know, roll over and play dead in game three at home. I feel like two of the most important pieces of the Celtics all year have been Rozier and Morris, and they're, it's such a slim margin for the Celtics to win these games. As soon as Morris, you know, came on the floor and, you know, he just kind of played like crap like everyone else. The energy was low. Rozier was off, which is expected. These guys are young. I just think it's one of those games. And I'm a diehard, but I'm also a realist. So as emotional as I was in the beginning of that half, you know, swearing at the refs, screaming and yelling, you know, I'm able to turn the switch and do it. You know what? You know, this is all, you know, we're playing with house money here. These guys are playing well. It's been an unbelievable year. Yeah, if we had Kyrie, I'd be a little more fired up, you know, during these games as far as going to the finals. But I think, you know, the real Celtics fans out there, you know, we're happy with what's going on. Obviously not happy last night. I think Stevens is going to make some adjustments. I think it's going to be a good game on Sunday. I don't know if they're going to pull it out, but it's not going to be like last night. And my last point is I am a huge Marcus Smart guy. I've stood on the cross to that guy all these years, but I realized that it might be Rozier, you know? So I wanted to ask you guys, gun to head, just on talent alone, who would you keep next year, Rozier or Smart, providing Kyrie, Hayward, everyone's healthy? And I'll take your questions off the air. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ian. I'm a Marcus Smart guy, even though Rozier's offense is, you know, far and away better than Marcus Smart's will ever be. Just that intangible of the frustrate, the ability to frustrate and annoy. That's my favorite thing about Marcus Smart. And when Kyrie is back next year, Smart coming off the bench at times, especially defensively, like I'm a Marcus Smart guy over Terry Rozier. That's what.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I tend to waffle back and forth on this one.
Gun to your head, Chris. You have to answer.
Well, but the way he phrased it in great call, Ian, thank you for the call, two different ways. He said, on pure talent, who would you take if Kyrie's back? Well, those are two different things. On pure talent, Rozier. If Kyrie's back, Smart. Because I think Rozier, as well as he's played, he's shown that when he plays well, it's when he's in a starting role. It's when he's getting a lot of minutes and a lot of shot opportunities. And if Kyrie's back, his role is going to be different. The role will be coming off the bench. And there were times this year he was very good in that role. There were times this year he was not. He was inconsistent coming off the bench. But I think a lot of his best basketball has come when in sort of starter minutes. And that's not going to be the role moving forward. So that's why I lean towards Smart. So I think those are two different questions there. Pure talent, Rozier. For what this team is moving forward with Irving right now, gun to the head, it's Marcus Smart for me.
All right. Speaking of Marcus Smart, Peter in Jamaica Plain has a thought on him. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that phone call a little bit. Definitely Marcus Smart But 2 points I want to make is if Kyrie Irving has bad knees, he's not a max contract guy. There's no way. Hopefully, this surgery or whatever he did will make him, you know, healthy. But they don't want a, you know, max contract guy that's going to have bad knees. And the second point I want to make is Marcus Smart, he's on schedule to return if they have a game seven. And
yeah, that's what he said last Sunday.
And against Philadelphia. And, you know, between him and Shane Larkin, I mean, they're a totally different team. I think Marcus Smart is kind of the heart and soul of the team. So I don't know why people aren't. Maybe you mentioned it last week, but it should be. You know, if he comes back, they're a totally different team, much better.
They have a lot more depth. No question about it. And I would, you know, Marcus Smart, if you are playing Philly, Marcus Smart's going to be one of those guys I think you're going to lean on to try and defend Ben Simmons.
Let's go to Chris and Avon for our last Celtics call here as we wrap up the Sports Hub Celtics show for this week. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys do a great job on Saturdays.
Thanks.
My weekly Saturday hangover, you make me a little less suicidal.
A lot of Gatorade. Get it in your body, Chris.
Oh, the pickle juice, too, right?
Yeah, pickle juice, too.
I just wanted to touch on the whole thing. I mean, it seems like this series is getting a little scrappy. It seems like it's a matter of time before it turns into a real dogfight now. That date that they put on Marcus Smart to actually come back, is that like a mandated thing, or is that just when they feel like he's going to be healthy because they bring him back before that? I'll hang up and let you guys talk it over.
Thanks, I think the way they've discussed it is basically like this is the...
Yeah, based on the timeline.
Yeah, this is the earliest projected date of return, you know, based on what they're doing with him in terms of the medical evaluations. So that's sort of where they're at. That April 27th date, you know, has been out there for a little bit. I think that's based on him and the progress that he's making coming back from that thumb injury.
All right. Well, you got game four, Celtics and Bucks in the, what I refer to it as, they're at the Hawks scheduled playoff time again tomorrow. 1 o'clock tip off on ABC. Let's bury the teams without the stars. But the Celtics and Bucks game four, 1 o'clock tip. You can catch it, of course, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub as well. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell going to have the call starting at 12:30 for the Sports Hub Celtics show tomorrow afternoon. All right, Rob Gronkowski, he showed up to Gillette Stadium today. Probably not for the reason you think, but we have fresh sound from Gronk. We'll have that for you right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Sarge. Sarge will also have the latest on Patrice Bergeron and whether or not he might be playing in Game 5 tonight as the Bruins can close out the Toronto Maple Leafs at TD Garden. So he'll get you caught up on that, and then we'll come back. It's our long commercial-free segment here. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.